A long time ago was a port city, which means that over in this city was a big place for boats, and the boats came, and the boats have all kinds of stuff that they bring into the country, and the king has a special officer to go and check what's on the big boat, what's on the big ship. Now let's say, in this big ship, they're bringing thousands and thousands of apples from a different place. And they want to sell the apples in this country. They want to make money. So the king's officer goes on the ship and he says, "You want to sell apples in our country? Well, we have our own apples, you know." And they say, "Well, the apples on our ship are even better than the apples in your country. So we also would like to make the money to sell the apples." "Well, okay. But the king says that you have to pay him taxes." Now, either the king would collect money, or he would say, "You have to give the king 10 boxes of the apples." And they would have to take the boxes of the apples to the king, the king's palace, and of course the king would have a nice time eating all those apples together with all of his officers and family and friends. And then they would let the apples into the country to sell. Or the king would get gold. Now, if the ship brought, let's say, silver, they want to sell silver, so the king would get what? Silver. And he had an officer in charge. Now, the problem was that the king's officer that goes on the ships was taking a lot of stuff in his own pockets. So, if he had silver to bring to the palace, by the time he got to the palace, not so much silver would get to the king, but on the way, the officer would stop by his house and put a lot of silver in his house. And if a bunch of boxes of apples are supposed to go to the king, well, the king got some of the apples, but a lot of the apples went to the officer's house. Or if there were jewels, well, the king got some jewels. You know who got most of the jewels? The officer. And the king thought he's getting the right taxes until, of course, the king has his spies and his special officers that check up on other officers. And they observed that this officer of the boats was stealing from the king. He was not giving everything to the king. So he was, of course, put in the royal dungeon, and he was punished. And now the king needs a new officer of the boats by the port where the boats come in. And the king is thinking to himself, "Who would make an honest officer that I could trust? Because a lot of my officers, they do a lot of funny business, and they take stuff for themselves. I can't necessarily trust them." Well, one day, he heard about a certain Jewish butcher that lived in the big city of the king. You know what a butcher is? Okay. A sheichet is the one that checks the animal. And then they take the animal to the butcher store, and he cuts up the meat into the pieces. And there's all kinds of things that, according to the Torah, you have to do to kasher the meat or to cut out certain parts of the meat. And then he sells the flesh. And this Yid was a special, special nice man. And he had a big business with his flesh, and he was very honest. And also, every Erev Shabbos, he would go around to all the poor people in the city, not only to the Jews, but even the non-Jews, and whoever did not have enough meat or needed food, he would give them food for Shabbos. And there were poor Yidden, and there were poor not Yidden, and he would give all these people food, flesh, and money, and different things that they needed for their families. Because he was a big bald stucke and an honest man. He never cheated anybody in his business. And the king found out about this butcher, how honest he was and how good he was. And the king thought to himself, he would make also a good officer of my boats. Because after all, you don't have to spend the whole day at the port, but the boats line up each day, and he could go for an hour or two on each boat from each day, just spend like an hour or two, and he would check what's on the boats and collect the taxes. And so the king sent one of his officers to the butcher and invited the butcher to the palace. And the king said to the butcher, would you like to be an officer of the boats? Okay. The king chose the butcher to be the officer of the boats of the port. That means that a certain time every day, let's say it's 12 o'clock, the butcher comes to the place where the ships come, and he goes on each ship, and he sees, what do they have on the ship to bring into the country? And the king said, for everything that they bring in, you get to keep one. That is your payment. Now, if they're bringing in boxes of apples, let's say the king gets 10 boxes, how many boxes of apples does the butcher get? One. If they're bringing 10 boxes, let's say they're bringing boxes of gold into the country, the king will get 10 boxes of gold. How many boxes of gold will the butcher get? How many?
One.
One box. Whatever they're bringing in, he gets to keep one. If they're bringing in horses, well, the king will get to keep 10 horses. How many horses does the butcher man get?
One.
One horse. And the butcher who became the officer of the port, of the boats, was of course careful to give the king whatever is coming to the king. And he also kept one of whatever they were bringing in. And as wealthy as he was before, he became wealthier. And of course, he gave even more tzedakah, and he helped more poor people. And everybody loved him even more because he used his money for good things. Like we know, to be rich could chas v'shalom bring a person far down or make a person very, very great. It's interesting. The ladder of Yaakov. Who remembers the ladder when Yaakov had a dream? The bottom of the ladder was way down, and the top of the ladder is way up. Well, the same number for the word ladder is also for mamoin, which is money. The ladder is called sulam, and also mamoin, which means money. That means money is like a ladder. It can make a person very, very high and take him very high places or bring him very low. One day, this is what happened. A certain ship came into the port. One day, a certain ship came into the port, and it was time that the butcher, the officer of the boats, goes onto the boat. And this time, a very interesting, different thing happened. He goes on this ship, and right away, the captain of the ship comes up to him and he says, oh, I see that you are the officer of the boats and you're also a Jew. Is that right? The butcher says, yes, Baruch Hashem, I'm a Jew. Oh, well, I am the captain of the ship and I will give you a chance to buy all of the merchandise, all of the cargo, all of the stuff that's on this ship. Well, the officer says, well, the butcher says, my job is only to see what's on the ship, and then you could bring it into the country, because you probably want to sell the stuff like everybody else, and I give the king what's coming to him, which is the tax, and I'm allowed to keep one of what you're bringing in. That's the rule, as you already know, because all the boats that come into the port, they already know that rule. And the captain says, probably for your good, and it'll probably make you happy, if you will buy everything in the whole ship, and I will not take what's in the ship to sell, and in fact, I will not even have to give anything to the king. You will get everything, but you'll have to pay. And the officer looked a little bit like tricky, like he's got something up his sleeve. And the officer says, well, first of all, how do I know I want to buy everything on the ship? I have to see what's there. And second of all, I mean, of course, I have to give the king the tax, otherwise the king will get very upset. And the captain has this kind of a tricky look in his eye, and he says, look, I am sure that you'll want to buy everything on the ship, and you'll figure out a way that you will not even have to give the king any of the tax, because you'll see how important it is to you. And the officer, the butcher, is getting very, like, wondering what in the world is going on over here. And he says, look, let me see what you want to sell first, because I feel that something is happening over here that's, you know, you said I'm a Jew and everything. Well, I want to find out what that has to do with it. And the captain says, well, the problem is, if you want to buy everything on the boat, you have to pay for it before you see it, or else I'm not going to sell it to you. And the officer says, what? Pay for it before I see it? I don't even know what it is. Who buys something before they even see what they're buying? And the captain says, you will buy it without looking, because that's going to be the deal. And if you take the deal, you'll be happy. If you don't take the deal, you'll never forgive yourself for the rest of your life. And the officer says, and how much money do you want for me to buy everything on your ship without even looking? And the captain says, 10,000 golden dollars. What? 10,000 golden dollars to buy without even seeing what I'm getting? And the captain has this look in his eye, a tricky look in his eye, and he says, look, you're stalling time and asking too many questions. The price has gone up. It is now 20,000 golden dollars. Take it or leave it by the count of three. One, two, and all of a sudden the officer says, okay, I am interested to buy it. First give me the cargo, and I will pay you later, after I take the cargo, after I take whatever is there, because he feels it's important. And the captain says, with that sneaky look in his eye, oh no, you have to pay me first, and you have to agree to all of my terms of the deal. And because you are still wishy-washy, and you're not exactly wanting to do exactly like I'm saying, the price has gone double to 40,000 golden dollars that you have to pay me before you take the cargo off the ship. Take it or leave it. I give you exactly 1 hour to give the money. And Kinalak, the captain, I'm sorry. And Kinalak, the butcher, felt that even as almost ridiculous as the whole thing is, something was here that he felt that he has to do because he's a Yid. He didn't know exactly why, but he felt something was doing over here that was very, very important, even to pay 40,000 golden dollars before he even sees what he's getting. Now, how many boys would pay $40,000 before they even see what they're paying for? Well, it was just a feeling. And the officer of the boats, the butcher, the good Yid, he went home, or he went to the bank, or wherever a person has to go to get 40,000 golden dollars in 1 hour. And he was able to get 40,000 golden dollars. And so the officer of the boats, the nice Yiddish butcher, brought a bag of 40,000 golden coins, and he gave it to the captain of the ship with a sneaky look in his eyes. And on the way, bringing the money, he's thinking to himself, am I really doing the right thing? Spending 40,000 golden coins to buy something that I don't even know what it is? From a captain that I don't even really trust? But Kinalach, sometimes the neshama has a certain feeling deep down inside that this is what it must do. It feels a halakha spark from Hashem that it has to, it's like this, everything has a spark from Hashem. You see this pita bread? What is giving this pita bread its power? A spark from Hashem. You see this falafel bali over here in the salad? What is giving this its koyach to give you a good feeling that you ate food? You know what it is? It's a koyach from Hashem. So when you eat that, you take the little spark from Hashem into your neshama and you lift that spark to Hashem. You use it to give yourself koyach, and later on you learn and daven and you feel good. You have koyach from the food. Shh. Now sometimes there's a thing that happens and you know, and this thing is a big spark from Hashem that your neshama has to lift up to Hashem. The butcher, the officer of the boats, the wonderful nice Yid felt that he is spending 40,000 golden dollars and there is some kind of a big spark from Hashem over here that his neshama feels, but he doesn't exactly really know yet what the whole thing is about. But he feels he must do it. He feels in his neshama. And he gave the bag to the captain. And the captain had that sneaky look and a laugh. It cost you a lot of money, but you did the right thing. Now come with me and I'll show you what you bought. And now they go way down to the bottom of the boat in a big room. It's a big ship. The captain unlocks the door and it's very dark in there. He lights a torch and all of a sudden the Yid sees what he bought. In that room are a whole group of slaves. But Kinalach, these slaves who were tied up in chains were not just regular slaves. They had yarmulkes and they had beards. Whatever was left of their yarmulkes, they were so torn and tattered, and their clothes were torn, and they were huddling together in the cold, damp bottom of the boat. And there was ladies also, Yiddisha ladies, and there were kindalach. And all of them were chained together. They had been taken as slaves. And this captain realized that he could get money to sell these Jews to this officer. He was prepared to go to the slave market and sell them as slaves, chas v'shalom, that each one would have to be a slave to some kind of a boss. But when he saw that the officer of the port was a Jew, he gave him a chance to buy them. And the captain laughs, you're lucky you bought them, because I would have sold them here to be slaves. If I wouldn't have gotten my price, I would have put them back in the boat, and later on in the ocean, they might be shark food. You know what shark food is? The captain was even prepared just to throw them off the boat to the sharks because he didn't care about them. And the Yid was so thankful that he was able to do pidyon shvuim to get these Jews away from this terrible captain and out of this ship. And he took the Yid and kinalach to his own house, and he gave them food, whatever he could give them. You know, if a person is starving, you don't just all of a sudden give him a good meal. There's a whole way that you are able to feed the person that he should get better before you give him a whole meal. And the Yid took care of them, and of course they got all washed up and cleaned up and new clothes, and they got medicines that they needed, and they got the food that they needed, and the Yid took care of them until they were all better. And they stayed in the Yid's own big, beautiful house. And one day, as the Yid, the butcher, is talking to his brand new friends, and of course they're so thankful that he pashut saved them, he sees there's a very nice Jewish girl who is a kalamadel. Well, what means that she's old enough to be married. He sees a very nice Jewish girl that is old enough to be married. And as he was talking to everybody and also talking to this girl, he sees she's a fine, edele, nice Jewish girl. And he thinks to himself, my son is old enough to be a chosin. And we're beginning to look for him for a kala. This girl seems to be a very, very nice shidduch for my son. And he talked to his son and he talked to the girl. And they met, and after a while they decided, yes, they would like to be a chosin and a kala. And the butcher was so happy, and he planned a big, beautiful chasana, inviting, of course, all of his new friends who used to be slaves, and of course, all of the different people in the city that would come to his chasana. He made a big, beautiful chasana. And the day of the chasana, this is what happened. Everybody was getting ready for the chasana, and they were in the big hall, and there was even food and drinks being served before the chuppah was going to take place, and everybody was in a good mood. But all of a sudden, one of the young men that had been on the ship, on the slave ship, was in a corner, very, very sad. And the butcher noticed him as he was going around talking to everybody, that this young man who had been on the ship was in a very, very sad kind of a mood. And he was wondering, it's the day of the chasana, a big party. Why is this young man so sad? And he goes over and talks to him. And the young man says, I really feel bad about telling you this, but I couldn't hide it. Before we were captured as slaves, the girl that is now going to go to the chuppah to be your son's kala, she actually was going to be my kala. We had spoken and arranged that we would be married in the right time, but we were taken all of a sudden, kidnapped into that pirate ship, and we were made to be slaves. And we never got to be married. And the butcher says, you mean you were going to be the chosen from this girl that will marry my son today? Well, why didn't you say anything? And the young man said, we were so thankful to you that you saved us. We didn't want in any way to upset you or do anything to make you feel bad. So we were so thankful that you saved our lives. We decided that we wouldn't say anything. And if you would like her to be the kala of your son, well, that's okay. But it came the day of the wedding today, and I just couldn't hold it myself back. I just got very sad. And Kinelach, this butcher was such a big tzaddik, and his son was also a big tzaddik. This is what happened. The butcher right away spoke to his son, who was that day going to be the chosen, and he explained the whole situation. And then they talked it over with the kala, because now the kala found out that they had found, the kala now knew that everything had been found out and talked about. And now, Kinelach, look what the butcher did. He announced to everybody, because everybody now found out what was going on. The chasana is still going to go on. But my son today will not be the chasana. The young man who was in the first place going to be the chasana, he will go to the chuppah with his kala, and we're going to go on with the wedding just as planned. And Kinelach, that day was a beautiful wedding. The butcher made the wedding for the young man and the young woman that were both in the slave ship. And they had a beautiful chasana. And many, many years later, when the butcher passed away, and he went to the Beis Din Shalmaila, they gave him the most honored, high, beautiful place in Gan Eden with the biggest tzaddikim. Now, for any money in the world, can you buy a place in the highest place in Gan Eden with the biggest tzaddikim? If you want to pay $1 million, can you just go and pay the money and get a beautiful place in Gan Eden for $1 million? No, you have to earn this through Torah mitzvahs. But they said, the 40,000 golden dollars that the Yid, that the butcher gave with Mesiras Nefesh to do this mitzvah, with this he bought, of course, not just bought for money, but for his mitzvah, the highest place in Gan Eden with the biggest, biggest tzaddikim. And of course, he's there now. And when Mashiach comes, we're going to see him again with all the big tzaddikim. And we're going to have a big Sudas Mashiach and a big party. And it's going to be, hopefully, very soon when we'll have the Geula and the Mashiach will come. We'll have Tchias HaMesim. And it's not just going to be falafel balls with pitas, with cabbage. It's going to be the Levyasin Fishi and the Sher Habar and special wine and all kinds of good stuff. All right. It'll be in Yerushalayim. And pickles, I don't know. Maybe we'll also have pickles.